This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Bar Sports Overline right here on KMOX. We're a little short tonight. We've got almost a full show. We'll end about 15 minutes early because we've got Billikens basketball tonight, late night in Philadelphia. 8 o'clock tip-off, 7:45 for the broadcast with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. Billikens are coming off a win their last time out, where bluntly they stole it. They absolutely stole it at UMass, winning 73-71. Had no business winning that game, down, I think, 5 with about 35 seconds to go, and they came back. They made some plays defensively. They hit some big shots, and now they'll try to go for back-to-back road wins. They're in Philadelphia this evening, and they match up against St. Joseph's. Our own Matthew Rocchio, he's working in the studio tonight producing the show, but he does a great job covering the Billikens and certainly looking at them from a very unique stance. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should, at RockSTL. That's R-O-C-C. STL. He joins us right now. And Matthew, I know that was a game that you were pretty fired up about the other night with the way they came back. That was something.
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, they keep on fighting, and usually they're one possession short. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. They put themselves in these holes and they can't climb out of it. One possession short. And then luckily, as so rarely happens, you turn the ball over on an inbounds and with under 30 seconds left and the game has changed.
But you know what? That's a great lesson for basketball in general, because these teams practice those kind of plays over and over and over. And like, what? It happens not even once a year. I mean, that never, ever, ever happens. But you work on that because you have to be ready and able to go if that situation presents itself.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think the context around some of those situations is interesting to me, because the turnover on the inbound play is inexcusable. But if you're looking at how the fans, you know, the opposing fans at UMass are reacting, they're really mad about the turnover earlier that Amari McCautry also caused, where they're trying to pass it through the lane and Amari knocks down. They're really mad at that. And I look at that, I go, well, honestly, if you're the player in the moment, you get those 2 points, the game is over.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was 3-on-2 UMass, and he thought, if I can thread this pass, it's game over. So from that perspective, it's like, I understand why the player was trying that, but this is, every once in a while, you know, the weird concoction of things happen and everything broke Slew's way.
It did, and winning games like that can play out, because I think this is still a team that's like learning how to win. They're learning. Yeah. I think they're still learning Josh Schertz's system. I don't think they're playing exactly the way coach wants them to play quite yet. But not only are they learning the X's and O's, clearly Schertz and company came in to lift the overall standard of Billikens basketball, and that's winning close games, that's being able to fight, that's showing the character. It's all the cliche tag words that sportscasters use, but there's there's truth behind all of those things. And winning a game like that in that moment, making the plays, yeah, you get the turnover, but then you got to hit the basket. To miss the shot and then get the second opportunity and to shoot that three the way that went down, I mean, that's a team that is learning how to win games like that, and that's what it takes to win games in March.
And you kind of mentioned Swope's plays. For me, the big one is the play of Amari McCautry. And if you watch the highlight, specifically, there's a Slew video that they put out where they're shooting from the baseline side, where Amari McCautry's reaction after Isaiah Swope hits that three-pointer to take the lead, his head drops into his hands, and it's obviously just pure elation, but also that's a weight off of freshman shoulders, who was getting minutes in the non-conference schedule and then kind of hit a wall a little bit and hadn't been getting those minutes. And despite the fact the team needed him to play, because he would play, he'd play 2 minutes, he'd make a defensive mistake, he'd turn the ball over, and he wouldn't see the floor again. So him getting those minutes in crucial clutch moments and making the play, That was big for Amari McCautry going forward, and that was big for SLU having a player like Amari McCautry, who's right now your seventh player despite being a freshman. He's got to make an impact in these last eight games and into the conference tournament.
It was 9 seconds left when SLU took the lead, right? Did I have that right?
I believe so.
That was the longest 9 seconds.
Yes, it was.
You know, and I mean, 9 seconds is an eternity in basketball, and for that game to end the way it ended with the block and everything, I mean, that I think anybody watching that, hoping for a SLU win, saw that whole thing play out in slow motion.
Yeah, it was definitely slowed down. You're thinking, and just the way the season's gone for St. Louis this season, you're thinking, well, they're going to the line because Kalu's going to get, you know, tagged up for a foul on the block, and then we're going to overtime, and who knows what happens there. That's the kind of thought process you have after some of the games that SLU's played in this year.
Really random, off the beaten path thing. I've seen this on social media. There was a UMass kid who was like supposed to win $10,000 for making 4 shots, including a half court shot. And then anytime like you win money like that in a contest, it's always an insured thing. Like if you win a radio contest for $100,000, the radio station isn't giving you that money. They have a deal with an insurance company. They pay the insurance company, and then the insurance company pay it. So the kid's foot was on the line at half court when he made the shot. So now the insurance company is saying, we're not paying you the $10,000. The UMass AD I saw today on social media was like, we're going to get him this money. So was that the SLU game where that happened? Or was
Because I actually believe that was, I believe it was actually a UMass women's basketball.
You're right. It was a UMass women's game. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, and you know, with a weight schedule, sometimes they line up, but I do not believe that was against the SLU.
No, you're 100% right. It was a UMass women's, because I saw what UMass first tried to offer the kid, like, instead. Yeah. And with all, I love women's basketball. I spent years broadcasting women's basketball at the collegiate level. This is not a shot at women's basketball at all. But if you're supposed to win $10,000 and the consolation prize is courtside tickets at a women's game, like, it's not the same.
UMass, by the way, has come out and said that they will. They're giving him the $10,000.
Good
themselves.
Like, to $10,000 is a lot of money, but to an athletic department, you should be able to lose $10,000.
Yeah, they're doing fine.
Yeah, that you'll be all right. This game, but a couple things. Robbie Avila is he's a top 10 candidate for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award. This award each year goes to the top center in college basketball. We've seen the center not have so much. They're going away, you know, college basketball in general, NBA, college basketball. It's more about positionless basketball. But Avila is one of those guys that can show you that if you use the center the right way, they can have a profound impact on the other four guys.
Yeah, no doubt. And you can feel it when he doesn't have that impact, as he hasn't had for the last few games, how much, you know, the orbit changes completely for the St. Louis offense, and teams can now focus on Isaiah Swope, and they can force Gibson Jimerson away from the three-point line, and now he has to be a threat driving the ball. And he has been. That's the only reason they've been in these games the last few rounds. But, you know, Robbie's got to step it up. There's a reason he's on that watch list, which is that he can carry a team. And tonight's going to be a big game, and hopefully Robbie steps up for it.
Yeah, St. Joseph's, again, they're not special. They're 4-5 in A-10 play. And this is actually one of, I said this earlier, this is one of those places that the Billikens actually have had a fair amount of success being able to go to and play in. But there is nothing tougher than a road win. It's really challenging to go on a road trip and get back-to-back road wins. I don't care who you're playing. It's a conference game. It's going to be late night. We'll see how many fans they get tonight and how rowdy they might be. National TV game, 9 o'clock start in Philadelphia. I'm not saying this is a hornet's nest situation, but I am saying Billikens need to be ready to go.
Yeah, they are. And honestly, I'm kind of surprised at where the line's been going. It's actually been bending towards St. Joseph in Vegas, which kind of surprises me. It's moved, more in favor of St. Joseph than it was, than it opened. And you have to realize, 16-point win for the Billikens back at home. Big thing there, though, was Xavier Brown, who probably not the best player on St. Joseph, but has the highest usage rate. When he's on the floor, the ball's going to be in his hands a lot of the time. He was injured for a couple games, and he was coming back during that game here in St. Louis. He only played like 15, 16 minutes coming off the bench. He's been in the starting lineup now for the last 6-7 games since that game. He's averaging almost 19 points per game. So him being back in the lineup, that's going to be a big aspect to why this game is right now in Vegas's mind breaking towards the Hawks.
Yeah, I see St. Joe's 6.5. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, that's what I got too.
Okay, so we'll see. So the Billikens trying to get the, we'll call it an upset if they win tonight. Billikens are looking for the upset tonight in St. Joseph's. Matthew, thanks thanks for taking a few moments.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Matthew Rocchio joining us, talking Bills basketball. When we come back, our friend Joe Roderick joins us from New Orleans. That's next. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.